Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Danielle Mercurio, and today's episode is Are You Living Up to Your Potential? I am so excited to be hosting our episode today. It's actually my first time leading a Life Coach Chat, so I'm really excited for the potential to be here and share all of this with you. So I'm actually out in Montauk, Long Island, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and I hope wherever you are, it's really nice out as well. And a little bit about me, I am the founder of New You City Coaching, and I work with individuals who are seeking city life balance to look and feel their hottest, most confident self. I really focus on making sure that we're not worrying about what other people think, be present in the moment, and truly do what they love. And with me today is my fellow coach host. First, we have Joanna Swift. Joanna is, her first real job was pretending to live back in time 200 years ago. Her favorite part about it was the amusement of showing up to her 9-to-5 in a bonnet and puff sleeves. Joanna has taken her love of imagination and created a coaching business working with young women who feel old, dull, and burned out, and teaching them to learn how to feel young and have fun again. Hello, Joanna.
Hi, Danielle. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, I agree. Joanna and I had actually done a Life Coach Chat 2 weeks ago, and we had so much fun, so I'm really glad that she's with me today. And
me too.
Secondly, we have, and also joining us for the first time, we have not done a show with David before, but we're really excited to have him today. And David Diamond is a theater consultant. He's a career coach for theater artists and an executive coach. As a career coach, David works with individual artists and managers and assists them in goal setting, strategizing, and actively pursuing their chosen career. He also presents many workshops for professionals and students around the country, including directing your theater career to university students. Hello, David.
Hi. Hi, Danielle. Hi, Joanna. It's great to be on with you guys today. It's my, I think, my third Life Coach Chat, but I haven't done it with you guys yet, so this is really going to be fun. I'm looking forward to our topic.
Yes, for sure. We're really excited about it as well, and let's get started on that note then. So, for those of you that are on right now, we do have the opportunity throughout the show to call in and let you participate. You can call in with any questions you may have pertaining to the topic, or if there's something else that you're really burning to say and just want to let us know, you can certainly call in with that as well. I'm going to tell you the phone number that you can dial into. It's 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. 9397, and we'll prompt you throughout the show of when the appropriate moments to call in may be. We also have a chat room available for you. It's here on the Blog Talk Radio Network website. You can log into the chat room, and throughout the show, you can ask any questions you may have, or you can just leave a comment. We'd love for you to be interactive and just have fun on there, and let us know how you're feeling, what your energy is like. We just want you to have some fun. Okay. So, today, as you have may have seen, the question is, are we living up to our potential? And this is a really important question that we may come across in our day-to-day lives pretty often. We wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Should I be doing this job? Should I be with this person? You know, should I be wearing this outfit today? You know, we look at our lives in so many different perspectives, and we are always wondering, do we measure up? Am I doing the right thing? Is this right? Instead of just kind of being like, you know what? This is where I am right now. This is how things are going. And perhaps this is my potential, and let's see if I can work with it, or am I just going to let it work against me? So again, we just really look at potential, and we wonder what it really means. And I think that as a society, we often set ourselves up for failure because of our ideas, because of what we think our purpose is. We often feel pressure to figure it out quickly, and then we judge ourselves relentlessly if we aren't measuring up to what we think we should be measuring up to. And then in turn, the question is, where does this need come from, and is it really important? And another thing that happens with our society is this timeline. We think that we have to implement certain things into our lives. We all know the drill. You go to school. You get a good job. You move into a home. You get married. You have kids, and so on and so on. And that's the all-American dream. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. But what happens if we don't fall neatly into those categories? Is that something that we're okay with? Are we willing to stand out? Or do we push ourselves into doing something that doesn't actually work because we think we're supposed to? Something that Joanna and Dan and I talked about prior is that it often makes us create these quote-unquote false goals. And what happens is we do these things and we challenge ourselves in ways that maybe aren't aligned with our purpose, but we do them anyway because we don't know any better. And so on that note, I actually want to bring in David into the discussion and have him talk a little bit about this concept.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think it's really true what you were saying, and I find this a lot with my clients in particular. You know, people who are going into the theater, going into the performing arts, want to be in, you know, want to be actors, directors, designers, writers. They have an idea about what they want their lives to be like, and they're constantly wondering whether, you know, they have enough talent, if they have enough drive, if they are really as good as they need to be or want to be. And it's just that so many times they set themselves up for disappointments. I mean, if you're an actor in New York City, where I live, actors starting out get rejected more times than, I don't know, I think maybe in any other business. Constantly going to auditions, you're constantly being told no, and it's up to you as that person to determine what does that no mean. Does that mean I'm not good enough? Does that mean I have to do something different? Does it just mean I'm simply not right for this particular role, and therefore I could just go on and do something else and continue? So when I work with my clients, I try to help them figure out and discover for themselves how they can gain satisfaction doing the thing that they love that's not dependent upon another person or another group of people saying, you are good enough, you are okay, you can do this job. So that means taking a lot of their career into their own purview and being able to create opportunities for themselves. So it's a lot of thing, not a typical role. A lot of actors just go to audition, and hope that they'll get cast. But I really encourage artists to find ways to express themselves and their art, even if somebody else isn't saying, I choose you to do that. So it's an interesting process, and I think it empowers a lot of people so that they don't feel like their determination of their self and their self-worth is dependent upon somebody else saying, I select you, I pick you, you're okay. So much of our self-esteem seems to be dependent upon that. And I think this whole idea of potential is an interesting one, because I wonder if buying into the idea that we're not living up to our potential is more detrimental than really helpful.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think what you're saying about our satisfaction and being so linked to other people determining our worth is really crippling us in a way. It's allowing us to lose our natural ability to do what we're meant to do. And when you're constantly, and it's interesting that you work with a lot of artists who are in an industry where you're constantly being potentially rejected, you're constantly being nitpicked or told certain things, to be worn down and to think that really you can only be reliant on other people's words. But if you can kind of take it inner and see that maybe, you know what, I'm going to cancel all of this out and just tune into what I think is good enough for me and really follow that and stay true to that, I think it's much more manageable and, again, goes back to being then satisfied for yourself. So I think those are really great relevant points to our discussion. So, Joanna, I would love to hear a little bit about what you think of the topic of potential and how it's relevant to us.
Okay, I'm happy to speak to that. So I've been listening to what both you, Danielle, and David have been saying, and one of the things that I'm especially struck by in your two takes so far is the, you know, Danielle, you had spoken about the false goal, the kind of, you know, the timeline that society sets up for us, that our society here in North America sets up for us, you know, having the you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you have your kids, and that's what we're all kind of aiming for. And David, you had spoken about, you know, outside validation, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so what this makes me start to ponder is, how can we, and you both started to talk about this as well, how can we turn towards internal validation instead, where we take our own goals, our own ideals, our own moral system even, and turn that into something that is valid enough for us to know that we're on the right path when we make the decisions that we do. And that can be really hard. I have a lot of clients who really struggle with that, but really want, you know, are aiming towards taking the compass, so to speak, out of the hands of society and into their own hands, so that when they're on their right path, they know it, and they don't require that external validation from everybody else. Because that external validation can be damaging when it's not in line with your own true potential and your own true heart, you know, your heart's own goal.
Joanna, would you say a little bit about how you approach that with a client? Like, what kinds of things might you say to somebody who's feeling that way and you're trying to help them see that they can have more self-validation? I mean, what kinds of questions or what might you say?
That's a great question. And when I see somebody in, you know, having this struggle, I really feel see the push and the pull between, you know, the habit of wanting to go towards what society externally validates and even our friends and family externally validate versus what they know to be right for themselves. So some basic questions that I'll start to ask are, when is the last time that you felt really in line with yourself? And what were you doing?
That's a great question to ask, and I think that's something that everyone can reflect on themselves. Another thing that you had said, Joanna, that I really liked was the idea that we have to take the compass out of society's hands and then in turn take it, you know, basically hold the compass ourselves and let it direct us throughout our own path. So I just found that really powerful, and I really like the idea of me being the one holding that compass. I can see myself, you know, with it. I'm in the woods, on the street, wherever it is that I may want to be, and guiding me through my life on my terms and doing it in a heart-based way, as you had said as well. So I really like that concept, if you will. Did you have anything else that you would want to add to this, David?
Well, I just, I think that's a really good question to ask, you know, and about when you've been satisfied. And I also, like to explore a little bit more about where the dissatisfaction is coming from, in the sense of, not in the sort of, you know, your childhood family psychological sense as opposed to a therapist or something, but if there's something that's impacting, some thinking that they have about the way the world works or the way people are in the world. I think we have a lot of misconceptions about the way things actually work, and they lead us to act in certain ways and think certain things that lead to feelings, feeling certain ways. So, for example, we might believe that the way the world works is that other people are thinking certain things about us, and as a result of them thinking about us, that determines our experience of life. So if we feel people think that we're not attractive enough or not smart enough or not something enough, then we start to feel that we're that way, and therefore we can feel badly about ourselves. I mean, the reality might be that nobody's thinking that. It's just all our own thinking. Because I really think everything is our own thinking. You know, everything is what we think about at a particular moment, and then we take the thinking on as reality and start to allow our feelings to come through based on that thinking. Because we can't feel anything that doesn't come from our thinking first. So we just can go down this rabbit hole of negativity based on things that are assumptions that we make about what's happening with other people that aren't really true. So a lot of my work, I think, and I guess you guys do this too, is just checking in on everybody's assumptions. Like, what are you assuming about how that people think about you, or that the fact that anybody may be thinking about you at all, that what are the assumptions you have about the way things work in the world, and are those really true? Because I think we get caught up in a lot of thinking about stuff that just leads us in the wrong, down a path that can be, make things more difficult, make us less happy.
Absolutely. And something that you said, David, something that you had just said was of a lot of interest to me, where you were talking about how the thoughts that we have, a lot of times based on the assumptions that we make from what other people are saying or doing, or a look that you think somebody gives you. One of the things that we learn in coaching is that our thoughts lead to our emotions, just like David said, and then our emotions are what drive us to act. And the actions that we take are what create our physical reality around us. So it's really important, just like David is saying, to start questioning your assumptions and the ways that you're thinking, because you can see this chain of events unfolding, that a lot of times the things that are occurring around you in your life may be, they're not always, but they may be a direct result of what you're thinking, because, again, those thoughts lead to the emotions that you feel. The emotions that you feel make you act one way or another. A really happy emotion might make you take a really loving action in the world, and that will create, beautiful things around you and people around you. A negative feeling, a feeling of self-doubt or self-hatred, can make you take really self-defeating actions. They may not be, overtly self-defeating, but something as subtle as taking a job that's not meeting your potential, and then not paying you enough, not challenging enough, not allowing you to express your creativity enough, so that in the end you feel trapped or dissatisfied, and all the other things that we're talking about today.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing potential back into the conversation, because it's very true. Everything that we were saying about these limiting beliefs and these assumptions really do line up with then in turn our potential and what we want to do next. A lot of times, going back and saying, you're thinking a certain way, or that you have to act a certain way, it's going backwards and saying, are these thoughts really true? Does this really apply to me? When I take a step back and I really look at the question I'm asking myself, am I being 100% true? Is there pure relativity to this? Or is there some space to be like, maybe this isn't exactly 100% right. Maybe I can work around it. Maybe I can move forward. A lot of times we think people also, it's funny because we worry so much about what other people think of us. But at the same time, we are also a little bit selfish in a lot of ways. We tend to think, oh, so-and-so is judging me, so-and-so is thinking about me, and they tend to think that that's what they're doing the entire day, that they're gossiping about you, or they're just, talking to so-and-so about you or thinking about you. Honestly, they're probably not. Maybe they have a negative assumption, but the thing is, they might think about it for a minute, and then either they'll move on to somebody else, or they'll just go back to themselves again. So a lot of times we spend all this energy worrying about what other people think when they're really not. And it's sometimes I kind of have to say, I hate to break it to you, but it's not always all about you.
And then we can be really hard on ourselves. Like if we've taken action, something that we think later, oh, my God, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Beat ourselves up about it for a long time. And it's difficult to, stop judging our own actions. That's not just what we're thinking. Then it starts to be about what we think about ourselves based on something that we might have done or might have thought, and then we find a good reason to denigrate ourselves. And I think that's a trap we can get into. I have
Absolutely.
had one student this past semester, and I asked her the question about it had to do with what at the end of your life, what would you say would have led to a satisfying life for you? I have people like to do this exercise where they have to look backwards from the end of your life and say, I know I've lived a satisfying and fulfilling life because I've been able to what? And it's just a really good question to sort of get at people's deeper values. But this one student, she said, and I thought this was really brilliant. She said, I know I lived a satisfying and fulfilling life because I've been able to let go. She kind of had this deep understanding that letting go, that not allowing things to capture your mind to the extent that you can't function or that you're stuck, is really what it's all about. And I thought that was a very evolved kind of answer, because most people say, I would have, you know, if I'd, you know, won an award or gotten recognition for my work, or, you know, so, but she went a completely different direction. She just said, letting go, and I just felt like the room kind of let go, and she said it, the whole air changed, and we all felt like, you know, that's really great.
Yes, for sure, and I agree. There is so much power in letting go, and like you said, the room gets lighter. It almost opens up so much space. There's so much more room to do things, because when we have these stories in our head and we're entertaining them and we're getting so lost from the very first thought we had all the way to the other one, if we had just let go from the start, there's so much more just breathing room, and there's so much more that you can do instead of just wasting your time in this very tight negative area. So that's so powerful, and I really, really love that you got to experience that moment with the client, because I'm sure it was very empowering.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Very cool. Well, I want to remind our callers that you can call in if you have anything that you would like to add. If there's something about your potential that you'd like to be coached around, perhaps it's with your career, with your family, something personal that you're going through and you're just not quite sure, we would love to talk to you further about it. That's why we're here. So you can call in. The number is 646-716-9397. I also wanted to mention that throughout the show, we are on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is Coach Host Radio, and we would love to hear your tweets that you're listening in now. If there's a quote from the show that you've heard, something insightful that you've gained, we'd love for you to tweet about it. Again, it would be Coach Host Radio, and we'd love to see you tweeting away on our behalf. We'd appreciate it. So feel free to do that. Write any notes that you're filling in the chat room. And again, to call in, the number is 646-716-9397. So next, I was thinking that we could get into some further questions that we had around potential. The plan is to basically have each coach pose a question, and then the three of us to give our own insight on it and see what comes up. So for that, I'm going to actually start us out. And my question is, with potential, we often feel that, you know, potential a lot of times is like, okay, what's my potential? It's, you know, is it with my career? And it's a lot of action steps, a lot of doing. And I'm kind of curious about the physical side of it. With our potential, do we feel that we also have to look a certain way? Is there certain judgment not only placed on our actions and what we do with our life in the career financial sense, but also do we feel that we're being judged on the way we look, on the clothes we're wearing, on the way we do our hair, on our makeup? Do we think that there is so much more that we should be doing and that aligns with our purpose? So I'd really love the other two coaches' take on my question on this, and I'd like to start with David.
Well, it's a strong question because I think absolutely, you know, we I don't know, I guess I could just speak for myself, but I think that physical appearance and how we put ourselves out in the world is I know for myself, I've always taken it on, I think, much too strongly. I always was convinced everybody thought that I, you know, didn't look right and that I wasn't, I didn't fit in with the way other people were and, you know, that I was being judged by that. And like you were saying earlier about how, you know, people think one thing and then the thought goes away and they're back to thinking about themselves, you know. I was convinced that everybody was thinking a certain way about me way I looked, and I was very, I remember as a young person, very concerned that I had the right clothes and the right haircut and all that stuff. And and you know, it's still to this day, I think, you know, I still have moments when I get into that space again. Oh, you know, oh gosh, I don't look so good today, or, you know, what are people going to think, or I have to, you know, give a speech or do a class or something and I don't look right, and what are people going to think, that whole other people thing again. And but I think the shift that I made going through, especially working with Michael Neal, if you know his book, The Inside Out Revolution or Super Coach, he's kind of got an amazing way of looking at things. And what he really taught me was that these thoughts that we have are just thoughts. And they go in our brain and they go out of our brain. They'll be replaced by another thought in a moment if you just wait. So it's not like we have to do anything to affect it, but the reality is we can hold on to these thoughts and let them affect how we're going to, you know, act in the world, be in the world, maneuver ourselves in the world, or we could just let them go and wait till they're replaced by another thought that feels better. And It seems so simple, but understanding that it's our own thinking that's getting us into trouble or helping us feel not good about ourselves and not related to the actual experience of our life was just kind of like a huge relief. And I could let the thought come in, oh, I don't look so great, people are going to think I'm terrible. It goes away. And the next thought is, oh, you know what, I better go shopping. I better go get, you know, because I need to do in my day and get back to thinking about what's really important here. Oh, you know what, I have somebody I need to take care of. That's going to be really important to me today. I have to do something for myself today. I have to put some positive energy out in the world. Something that I work a lot on in the theater is building projects. How can I use theater to help create peace in conflict areas of the world? So that's something I've been working on. And when I get to these thinking about myself so much, I turn around and say, wait a minute, what's really important here? What have I done toward my bigger goal, my real mission as I see it? If I'm not doing that, then I realize, oh, I'm stuck in thought again. I'm going to wait a moment. It'll change. And then I'll be onto a new thought and a new action and new feeling and not stuck.
Wow, that's a wonderful answer. And I think a lot of us can relate to what you said. You know, I think a lot of us look in the mirror and we're like, oh, I don't look quite right. And we have all of these thoughts. And when you were able to just break it down, like you just said, you know what, they are just thoughts. And we do have a choice, and we do have the freedom to either hold on to them or let them go and ask ourselves what's really important here. So I really like how you posed that question. And, again, your feedback's been great. And I actually did not know the author that you had mentioned, but I did write down, you said the book was called Super Coach, and what was the name of the other book?
Oh, the new one he just came out with, this is great, called The Inside Out Revolution. Subtitle is The Only Thing You Need to Know to Change Your Life Forever. And it's kind of an extraordinary way of, he articulates very well the ideas of the three principles of Sid Banks. I don't know if you know his work. He was also a great thinker about this stuff, but it's really about understanding the principles of mind, consciousness, and thought, and understanding how it really works so that we can let go and say, oh, you know what? I understand what that is now, and I can then let it go.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I will be adding that to my reading list, which is constantly growing faster than I can keep up with, but I will definitely check it out. So, Joanna, I would love to hear your thoughts on this subject as well.
I would love to share my thoughts on the subject. I think it's really, really interesting that, David, what you were saying about kind of your history with physical appearance and wanting to appear a certain way and having that affect a lot of your day at a younger age. When I was younger, I barely ever thought about my physical appearance.
And it hardly had any impact on my consciousness whatsoever. You know, to the extent that in high school I had one pair of pants and I wore them every day and everybody knew it, you know, and I was like, whatever. when I started, and then when I worked at my job at the history museum, I had like my one dress, right? But that was okay because it was historically accurate and, you know, that's fine. But when I transitioned out of working at a job that assigned me my one puff sleeve dress, and transitioned into coaching, I still had this attitude of like, my appearance is separate from me. And I met with a lot of coaches and other entrepreneurs who told me and were talking in the room generally about your appearance matters. And you want to look professional so that your potential clients are attracted to you and want to work with you. And this was a totally foreign idea to me. I had no idea even where to start. So I started, and I liked the idea. You know, it was a new thought for me. So I started experimenting with putting some effort into my appearance and noticing when I might overreach or you know, go a little too far insofar as I might look great, but I didn't feel like me anymore. And then how might I also look really really professional, but totally feel like me. And I'm still experimenting with finding the sweet spot where I feel like I look good, and so I feel good, and I also feel like me, so I feel even better. Because there is a lot of truth to the thought that when we look good, we feel good. But I find that when I look good, but I feel like somebody else, I don't feel good. So I've been experimenting.
I would say,
can
I just jump in there for a second? Because that's really interesting that you said, when we look good, we feel good. And I would just alter that slightly. I would say, when we have the thought that we look good, we feel good. And whether we look good or not is totally kind of irrelevant, but it's what we think about it, I think, that matters.
Absolutely, and I totally noticed the way that when somebody feels good, that shines through and makes them look better than any amount of really great clothes and really professionally applied makeup. You know, like, it really comes from inside. When we are feeling like we're on top of the world, that shines through. And people will respond to you differently. It's crazy. It's incredible. People will look at you and say, wow, you look amazing, and you're like, I just kind of woke up today. But if you're if you're feeling great, people will respond. And so, yes, David, I totally agree. When you feel like you look good, you feel good. And so, again, a lot of that comes back to being in touch with yourself and feeling like you squared, you know, feeling so much like you, like you're self just shining out in the world in a very positive way. I feel like that's what, in terms of appearance having anything to do with potential, when you feel like your appearance is in line with you, then you and your potential get to go on a really fast trajectory together.
And I totally agree with you. And I would love to know, just for our listeners, what would be one tip that you would recommend to someone, say they are looking in the mirror and they're like, I want to feel good. I want this thought to be connected to my outer appearance, but I'm just, something is not aligning right now. What would be one suggestion or one question you would have that person ask themselves to raise their energy to a higher place?
That's a really, really fantastic question. A lot of times when I'm in that spot where I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, like, this is not what I wanted to see today. One of the first things I will do will be to kind of turn inwards and say, or ask myself, you know, what am I proud of about myself? You know, what makes me feel really
the only word I can think of is glowy in my heart. And sometimes that's not something that you can show. Like, for a while, the thing that I was most proud of was, how can I say it? I was most proud of having grown so much inside, you know, really grown as a person, grown into my adulthood. I felt like I had taken so many steps forward, but I couldn't, you know, show that to somebody else who had just met me. But it made me feel so good that pride began to shine outward into the world as well when I would remind myself of how proud I was of me.
Wow.
That's great. Yeah. I would have one other thing that I might do or question that I might ask, which is, how can I, in the case of myself looking in the mirror, how can I put some kind of energy out into the world today that matters more to me than how I look at the moment? Mm. Like, what can I do in the world? What can I put out there that's going to create beauty, that's going to bring a smile to somebody's face? How can I take it away from my thoughts, away from how I'm looking, and bring it into what can I put out for somebody else? Sometimes that works.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. It's kind of reflect it outward, and therefore it becomes something so much bigger than who you are in that moment. It's about the entire experience. And so when you look at something that much bigger, then what, you know, you look in the mirror and being a little upset that there's like a wrinkle on your shirt really doesn't mean anything, you know. So I think that's really a great way to look at it as well. And for me, I also live in New York City. So, and I moved here a little over a year ago, and I lived in other cities prior, but New York is kind of the ultimate city. And so many people ask me, they're like, oh, fashion, what are you going to wear? What are you going to do? And I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, normally I love clothes. I'm a Leo, and that kind of, they go hand in hand. And I thought, well, oh, you are?
Yeah.
I love it. That's why I like to do it. And so I just always felt like, you know, that wouldn't be a problem. And everyone was telling me all these things about, you know, how I have to look and dress a certain way. And I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? And started to get a little bit insecure around it. And so my first couple of weeks in New York, I was very self-conscious about my wardrobe. And actually, looking back, I dressed horribly those 2 weeks because I was trying to fit a certain mold. And instead, I wasn't aligning with me going with the flow, waking up in the morning and feeling whatever it is I was feeling and letting the clothes just kind of come to me. Instead, I was altering them and trying to place them in certain ways that would make me fit in with everyone else. And I noticed that it wasn't working for me. I was having, you know, my own transition into the city, and worrying about what I was wearing really needed to be the last of my worries. So I started to kind of just forget the fact that I was in New York City, forget the fact that everyone said I had to look a certain way, and just kind of tried to go back to the me aspect, and what do I love? What do I love when I put this on, this color? What's speaking to me? And when I did that, I noticed that I did not care anymore about what other people thought. I didn't care if my outfit was to everyone else the worst thing in the world. If I was happy in it, then it really doesn't matter, because, again, it goes back to what we were saying before. You know, someone might pass you on the street. They're going to do just that. For those 3 seconds, you may lock eyes, and then they're going to keep going about their day. And so it's kind of freeing in a sense to be able to know that you can do whatever you want, and it really doesn't affect anyone else but yourself. So knowing that is for me, really empowering. And so I like the idea that I can be in a, quote-unquote, fashion capital of the world and be able to still do whatever I want and not feel affected. So I just that was kind of a little lesson that I learned in my transition here.
Great.
I still remember
those days, though, when I have a spot on my shirt or my pants or something, and I was convinced that every single person the whole day, that's what they were looking at, and that's all they cared about.
Yeah.
And they thought something negative about me because of it. And it was just like I was totally convinced that that was the reason for everything bad that happened to me that day, was because I had that spot or whatever it was. And amazing how our mind can allow it to take over in that way, and being able to put it in perspective and shift it becomes really powerful.
It absolutely does. And also, yeah, go, Joe.
I just want to offer a really quick alternate perspective on that, which is usually when I see somebody has a spot on their pants or whatever, I'll look at it and I'll say, oh, thank goodness, I'm not the only person who does that.
I love it.
Be a slob sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I was going to say something on the other side of it. I was, you know, notice sometimes when I do that, if I say, like, if I do happen to, you know what, I do see someone's spot. I say, you know, like, it's my head's noticing it. I'm like, why are you noticing that right now? Why is that what you're focusing on, this person? And I, you know, kind of take myself back a level so that I can actually go back into connecting with them and who they are with me right now, as opposed to worrying about, you know, the pen that they got on their pants, which, hey, it happens. Everyone everyone gets pen on their pants. Everyone spills coffee on themselves. And it's just one of those things that we have to deal with and move on. So I think they're all
amazingly and wonderfully
human
and flawed, and it's
yes.
great that we are, and we just have to embrace it.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So let's embrace the mess that we are, because that's just all the beautiful part of it. So thank you so much for talking about this question with me. I think we got into a really great discussion about it, and hopefully gave some other people some more insight on it, and we'll be feeling a little bit more comfortable in their skin and realizing how beautiful and powerful they are right now, and the outside is a reflection of that, and using it for the positive and not the negative. So I also wanted to talk a little bit more about the other shows that we have coming up on Life Coach Radio Network. So today you were listening to one of our Life Coach chats, which we do throughout the week. We also have individual shows as well. And our next one is actually on Monday. It's at 8 o'clock, and it's called Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And she's going to be sharing her insights into the way that spirituality impacts all aspects of our life. You'll explore with her the ways that coaching can bring your current life into alignment with your true life purpose through a deeper, more powerful way. Again, that's on Monday at 8. We also then have on the following day, Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have our show, Overcome Your Fears and Insecurities. Now go for it. Now is the time to go for it. Learn how to reinvent yourself and live your life with purpose without hesitation. Join in as they discuss the keys of overcoming your fears and insecurities as it relates to making your career jump. Again, that's Tuesday at 7 p.m. And on Wednesday at 8, we have Purposeful Conversations. The show will follow a telecast format, and individuals will be given tools which they can identify where they are in their life in terms of career, relationship, spirituality, and other segments of their life. Again, that's on Wednesday at 8. And you can always go to the Blog Talk Radio website, blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network, to see all of our upcoming broadcasts. It's also the place where you can go for our on-demand episodes that we've recorded since that you can re-listen to or find a new show that you haven't seen or listened to yet and hear it. And our show will be on that on-demand list shortly after our time today. And also remember, if you do want to call in and chat with us and pitch us your question that you would like to be coached around, the number is 646-716-9397, and don't forget about the chat room as well. So on that note, I'd like to do another question. And Joanna, I'd actually love to hear your question that you have for David and I surrounding potential and purpose.
Absolutely. So I gave just a lot of thought, and what I'd really love to hear your takes on is in terms of potential. We're all told that we have one, and I believe that we all do have a very high potential. But how do we, as individuals, identify our own potential without selling ourselves short? It's really, really easy. I've noticed this for myself. I've noticed this in my clients. I've noticed this in my family and friends. It's so easy to believe that other people have really great potential and that we ourselves don't. That we're the only ones in the whole world that have a crappy potential. So I'd love to hear from the two of you and any of our callers on, you know, how do you think we can identify our own potential without selling ourselves short?
This is a really great question to ask, and I'd love, David, actually, for you to take the first stab at it.
Okay. I would... answer the question by maybe shifting the conversation a little bit to, I think in my old way I used to coach, I probably would have done a lot of investigating of people's deepest values and trying to understand what's really important to them and try to help them focus on, expression of those values and set goals for themselves. And in working with Michael and in shifting myself over the last couple of years, I think the question that's more interesting me now about that question is how do we gain an understanding that we all have access to the infinite potential for creativity. We all have access to the universal creative energy of the world. So everybody's potential is in effect the same because we all have, or all part of, the same bigger energy of creativity of the entire world, universe, whatever you want to call it, that's out there. It's all there for us to take. It's all there for us to access as soon as we kind of calm our minds down enough to allow inspiration and insight to come to us. So instead of thinking about as much about, what are the things that are my potential and how do I figure that out, I guess try to help my clients understand that we all have humongous, infinite almost, potential if we allow ourselves and allow insight and inspiration to come through us, because it's all right there. Everything that we need, we already have. Everything is out there. It's just a matter of us being able to identify it and take action to access it. It's already there. All the potential in the world is there. And we just need to go after what's interesting to us. Be led by our desire. Be led by, oh, wow, I think that's really an interesting thing. Let me explore that. Instead of being locked in a kind of a judgment sense of, is this my potential or not? Am I doing the right thing or not? But instead allowing us to see that all the potential is right there. And we just have to go for what's interesting and fun.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And actually, I was furiously writing everything down because there's a lot of good stuff that I'm going to be tweeting from you later. I love the idea. I do. I love this. And I'm like, I need to remember. So I love the idea of we all have access to universal creativity to the world. And it's so true. Instead of looking at our lives through a microscope, we can look at it through a telescope and see all that's out there and, the vast opportunities that we have. So it's just a wonderful way to look at it. And another approach that I have to what Joanna was saying about, how do we look at our potential without selling ourselves short, I like to do this with my clients, the best friend approach. What would you say, if your best friend said to me, you know what, I'm in a weird place right now, I'm trying to figure out what my purpose is, what my opportunities are, what should I do? What do you think are the qualities that I have to get me to where I need to be? What would you tell that friend? And you would probably be very positive. You'd be very encouraging. And then when we do it to ourselves, though, we tend to do the opposite. We tend to think about everything that we're lacking and everywhere that we're not doing things well. So what if you took the best friend approach to yourself and said, here I am. I have all these incredible opportunities. There are all these things I want to do with my life. I'm not quite sure, but I want to tap into what that is. What are my positive qualities that I have to get me to where I need to be? What's the first step in the most, uplifting way to get me going? So I really like using that approach so that you're looking at yourself in a different angle and you're not focusing on the flaws and you're not, cutting yourself short, so to speak.
Great.
Yes. Yes. Did you want to add further on that, Joanna?
I love what you both have to offer here. What David is saying particularly reminds me of one of the beliefs that we have in coaching, which is that we are all greater than we could possibly imagine that we are. And sometimes it helps to just believe that. Sometimes it's hard to believe that about yourself, but what I like to do when I'm really challenged and when I'm really stretched outside of my usual boundaries is just pretend that I'm somebody who believes something or does something and then act like that person would act. So if it's really a struggle for you to believe that you're greater than you've ever believed before, maybe try pretending that you believe that and act like that person would do. And just see where it takes you. You know, there's nothing quite like going on the adventure of trying out a new belief that you think might be helpful. And Danielle, I love what you say too about taking the best friend approach, because there's a quote somewhere that, and I wish that I knew whose quote it was, but it's along the lines of, if we treated others the way we treat ourselves, we'd all be in jail. So why not treat ourselves the way we treat others, especially those people that we love? And again, see where that takes us. See what happens when you treat yourself like your own best friend. Maybe you'll wind up becoming your own best friend, and you can only go up from there.
Well, I love what you said about, trying to sort of trying a different belief or a different behavior, acting as if you were somebody else, because that resonates a lot with my clients who are actors, because that's what they mm-hmm. do in their work. They're always mm-hmm. take on another role of another person for another person's personality, and yet when they're in their own lives, all of a sudden it's really interesting what happens, that we don't. Like, they allow themselves the ultimate creative life in the rehearsal room when they're working on a project, and they go places they would never go, you know, just, like, allow themselves to do things that they never even thought possible, because there's a lot of trust and security in that room. But when they get out into the world, all of a sudden, all of that, all of the creativity kind of dries up when it comes to themselves, and, the negative thoughts begin. So it's, I talk to them a lot about using what's in the rehearsal room in life, you know, and that's a very mm-hmm. A practical thing that actors can get their minds around, because they're living through it, you know. I don't know how that resonates with other people, but.
Well, actually, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm looking in our chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, and I see that our guest, username NXA140, says that they absolutely love the central idea throughout the show. They say it's something that they think we all struggle with, and they really love what we're talking about now, to just pretend it. If we keep putting ourselves into that role, we can start to become that role. And you are welcome, NXA140, for that thought. Thanks for writing in.
Yes, thank you very much, and so glad that you're appreciate this concept, because I too hear it a lot with my clients. I work with a lot of individuals that are transitioning, moving to new cities, starting new chapters in their life, especially those that are entering into adulthood. And I kind of, my the way I coin it is fake it till you make it. And I've had people that come back to me and say, you know what, that was so powerful. At first I wasn't sure if I should do it, because, you know, if I'm faking it, it's not really me being me. But when I, you know, when we worked around it, we're like, no, it's who you want to be. It's who you know you need to be. But in the beginning, you just need to fake it a little bit just to get you to that first step. And they said that once they did that, their confidence levels just increased so much, because when they just kind of went for it and didn't care and realized that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be, it brought them up to a new level and brought them up, you know, in so many different ways that their confidence allowed them to kind of continue on and set that path forward. So it's a really great concept, and it really resonates with me, and I'm glad that you brought it up, Joanna.
Absolutely. There's something that somebody brought to my attention recently. You can't really have a thought that's not your own thought. So I use this to my advantage when I start to notice myself daydreaming about being a certain way or doing a certain thing. I realize that's already a part of me. That's something that's a part of me that wants to express itself. So lately I've taken to entertaining those thoughts and trying on the sort of fantasies that I'm having about the person that I could become, and noticing how that's just skyrocketing me towards my potential.
Yeah.
That's so great. And I think as coaches, it's something we use a lot with our clients, because we know when a client comes to us with a question, they already have the answer in them. If they thought enough to come up with that question, with that idea, they have exactly what they need in them to find that answer, and our role is to get them there and not just tell them what to do. So it's so relevant in our coaching process, and it creates such great results for our clients as well. So, you know, it's very powerful. Well, we're wrapping up on the hour, actually, and I have loved all the conversations that we've had around this idea of potential and where it leads us and where it can take us and who we really want to be. So I really appreciate all of your insights, Joanna and David, and I'd love to hear your final thoughts, as well as also tomorrow is Father's Day. So if you want to do a little shout out or let us know how your father has made an impact on your potential. I know for me personally, mine has been very inspiring along my path, just in the sense that always there when I needed someone to go to. I never felt that I had to act a certain way, and just having someone on your side. I think that's the biggest value I've gained from my dad, knowing that he'll always be there, someone I can go to, and it's something that I hope that I can, you know, show to other people as well, that I can be that type of person that is willing to be there for anyone else. And you know, my father also has a very big heart, and so I hope that's something that I can express to the world as well. So, Joanna, I'd love to hear any final thoughts you have. Also, any way that the viewers can contact you if they'd like to learn more about your coaching services.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I've had a blast here today. I can be found on Facebook at www.facebook.com/imaginationlady. And I can also be, I have a brand new Twitter account. I can be found on Twitter at imaginationlady, all one word. And I would love for our listeners to join me on Facebook and on Twitter. I am, one of my challenges, if you listened to my last show with Danielle and our marvelous executive producer, Russ Terry, one of the things that I'm working on personally to move even closer in towards my potential is to get my presence on social media to be something that I'm comfortable with using on a, hopefully, daily basis. So I'll be on there stretching my own boundaries. Please, please, please join me. I'd love to see you there and have conversations with you in between shows. In terms of shouting out to my dad is one of the greatest inspirations in my life and one of the truest people that I know. He has been a support to me for my entire life and continues to show his support to me almost daily, which is difficult because he lives 3,000 miles away from me at the moment. He's constantly, you know, emailing me and letting me know how much he supports my new business ventures and even just the random funny thoughts that I have that I send on over. So one of my favorite memories of my dad, when I was growing up, fun fact about me, my most favorite show ever is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I love the archetype of the strongest girl in the world has been a lifelong, you know, ember glowing in my heart. And my dad watched Buffy with me every single week for the 7 years that it was on the air and really showed his support as a man for the strongest girl in the world and showed me that he thinks that I am the strongest girl in the world. So, Dad, I love you.
That's beautiful, Joanna. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, it's very empowering. So, and I'm glad that you have such a great support system in your life. And, David, we'd love to hear any final thoughts you have, how we can contact you, et cetera.
Thank you. Yes, my company is called Career Coaching for Artists, although I do work with non-artists as well. And my website is David J. Diamond, DavidJDiamond.com. My email address is ddjdstar@gmail.com. And I would just say, you know, I lost my father over 25 years ago, but the big important thing that he left with me was his tremendous sense of justice and fairness. I hope that I've taken on a little bit of that. How can we reach you, Danielle?
Okay, well, so I can be reached through my coaching, again, is called New You City Coaching. So I'm found on Facebook with facebook.com/NewYouCityCoach, as well as that's also my Twitter handle, New You City Coach. And my website where I blog is New You City Coach, again, newyoucitycoach.wordpress.com. I would love to hear from you. And I want to also just go ahead and thank Joanna and David. It's been so great this past hour talking to you both. Completely went above my wildest expectations, and I learned so much, and I'm so excited to just kind of process this the rest of the day and take it in and tweet and everything else that comes with it. So thank you both so much for your time with me today.
Thank you. It's
and
been great.
A pleasure. Yeah, of course. And again, if you want more information about our radio network, the Twitter is Coach Host Radio. And of course, all the information is on our website, blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. And we just want to thank you, our listeners, for listening in this past hour. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you found it engaging, enlightening, and inspirational. And we look forward to having you on our network again. And again, to all the dads out there, have a wonderful Father's Day. And to everyone else, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we, again, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day. Thank you.